Hey, Apple Music, this is Taylor Swift. Midnights tells the stories of 13 sleepless nights scattered throughout my life. I hope you like it, and wherever you are, you'll meet me at midnight.
To be. This is small town music, this is big town music. He's ahead of his time, you know, but he can't use it. If only he could prove it. Well, tomorrow's just a song away, a song away, a song away.
Hey everybody, welcome to Rock Solid, the comedy podcast for all things music, both new and classic. I'm Pat Francis.
And I am Ezra.
And today, we are going to go track by track through the new Taylor Swift album from 2022 called Midnight. Now, this thing's got so many songs on it. The proper album has approximately
13,
and then there's like three bonus tracks, and there's also the Midnight 3 a.m. edition, which has 1, 2, 3, 4, this has a bunch of songs on that.
Maybe. And then the Target edition has a song that's exclusive.
Called Hits Different. So we're going to try to get through all these and give you our thoughts and prayers on these songs.
On this Christmas day.
On this Christmas day. Now, did you listen to this album a lot? Like, how many times do you think you've listened to this album?
I think I've listened to this album probably like 20 times.
And where does this rank among Taylor Swift's albums? To me, it's the closest akin to the 1989 album.
I agree. It's like, if it, like 1989 and Red, it felt like a return. And I think that's what got me so into it, is that I think that like Folklore and Evermore are great, but I think that they're really great albums for people who didn't like Taylor Swift before they heard them. Some people really didn't like this album, or at least initially, like the response was kind of mixed.
This was not well received by a lot of people that I talked to. People were like disappointed.
But it felt like a return to like what I associate more of with like her signature style.
It wasn't a return to Fearless or Speak Now or Red for me.
No. It's a little bit of a return to Red for me.
Yeah, see, I know.
It's 1989.
For me, it's the most like 1989.
I agree.
Which took a while to grow on me, that album, actually.
But I also think it does a good job of blending a lot of like her more mature like musical sensibilities with like the fact that like she does, I don't know, she's corny. Like sometimes she's just really corny, but like I kind of like it. I do like it.
Yeah.
I don't know.
And it's definitely one that has to grow on you. I don't think you like this immediately
It grew on me. It 100% grew on me. I think that as much as it aesthetically and musically like most communicates 1989, there are songs that really sound like Reputation, an album that I do not love. There are songs that do feel more akin to Red for me. There are songs that feel a lot like 1989, and there are songs that pull from her musical shift with Folklore and Evermore. I think that you get a lot of it. You don't get her old stuff,
right?
But that's kind of to be expected. I mean, it's been like 15 years.
That's what makes her so great, though, because this is not like Evermore or Folklore at all.
No, yeah.
And those two albums weren't like Lover or Reputation.
But this felt the most like a culmination of her last like four albums in a way that I really liked, in a way that I really appreciated once you start to like think about it.
And, you know, she's an artist that's always evolving, growing, and doing different things and going wherever her heart and mind want to take her.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone's willing to go for the ride. I mean,
yeah, for sure.
And the marketing on this was big, as always. You know,
different. No singles, though. Dropped the whole album.
He just dropped the whole album. No real singles. You're right. So you pick the single. You decide what your favorite song is.
I think the single would definitely be Antihero, though. I mean,
are you sure that wasn't released as a single? Let me look.
Positive.
Let me see what
it says. I'm pretty sure. She released the titles, but she didn't release the actual songs. It all dropped at once, as far as I know.
There's some songs that are highlighted, and usually when they're highlighted on Wikipedia, let me see if I can find out.
All right, we're doing research.
We're doing research.
I'm pretty confident, though.
And
Tahira was the first music video she put out. And I think that's what made it feel, I think it was the first one that got a lot of traction and a lot of,
well, if it was put out as a video, then that's what we consider a single.
Yeah, but it wasn't put out before the album. I guess that's what I'm saying. She put the whole album out at once. And if there was a lead sort of single, I think it was probably Antihero.
What we are considering the singles are Antihero and Lavender Haze, followed by Lavender Haze. That's what mm-hmm. is considered to be the two singles.
Okay. But did she release them before she dropped the whole album?
That I don't know.
Yeah, so that's all I'm saying. Do you remember the weird timing thing that happened with this album versus?
No.
So do you remember what day this album came out? You're going to get in trouble.
Don't
look at Wikipedia. What day did this album come out?
On your birthday?
Yes. Right. That's what you're going to get in trouble. And what?
I didn't look.
What
when
other
I
album,
said that, I didn't look.
What other album came out on my birthday?
Was it Red?
Yeah, the one we last podcasted about.
We love Red.
How old was I when Red came out?
12.
Yeah. And this album came out on my 22nd birthday, which is so crazy.
That is crazy.
10 years ago, when I first listened to this album, I was like, 10 years ago, I was listening to Red and I was 12 singing a song about turning 22.
Yep.
And now I am 22 years old. That was like a really weird full circle moment for me. And I think something that sort of immediately endears me to this album is that it came out on my birthday and I was listening to it.
That is pretty cool.
On my birthday. Taylor Swift released a new album. There's a new Tegan and Sarah album.
Mm-hmm.
It's just okay. We can talk about that one later.
Talk about that another time.
And there's new Carly Rae Jepsen album. They all came out.
And how was that?
Honestly, I didn't listen to it.
All right.
But I heard good things.
Well, for this album, all songs written and produced by Taylor Swift and Jack Antonoff, except where noted. Mm-hmm. So there's some, you know, Lana Del Rey helps out with some writing. Zoe Kravitz helps out with some writing. So
what are your thoughts on Jack Antonoff's production?
I'm not a big Jack Antonoff fan.
Same.
I'm just not.
We should point out the songs that aren't produced by him, because I think that until you listen to the ones that aren't produced by him, you're like, this is fine. And then you're like, except for not care for Lana Del Rey either.
I mean, it looks like he's had his hand in producing every song on this album, but the Midnight's 3 a.m. version
edition
is where he doesn't have his hand.
Yeah. And I think some of the extended songs are better than the ones that actually made it to the top 13.
I kind of agree with you.
Maybe we should get into it, though.
Let's do the
13.
Because
we have a lot of songs to get through, and we can talk about all these opinions.
Okay, well, let's get going with the 13 that make up the actual standard mm-hmm. release album.
Yes.
With four covers and flip them over, make a clock, all that stuff.
Yes.
We're not going to get into that. Look it up. Go to her website.
No, this is
the marketing's amazing.
This is a Taylor Swift promo now because she needs it.
Yeah, she's not making any money. All right, so the first song is called Lavender Haze. All right, let's kick it off. Let's hear a little bit of Lavender Haze. Immediately, you know it's not folklore.
Yes.
Lavender Haze means, but it's creeping up. Is there a vaccine for that? What do you think of Lavender Haze?
I think it's a pretty solid way to start off the album. It's not my absolute favorite song. It probably ranks around the middle. I've heard people say that it's partially about like patriarchy and pressure to get married. It was hearing that and having that be my first introduction to the album, I was like, okay, all right, I could get behind this.
Yeah, I mean, again, listening to music with headphones on takes a whole new different, you know, you immerse yourself in it more. So
yeah,
hearing that right now with the headphones on, it sounds a lot better than it sounded in the car to me.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I have the lyrics in front of me, so I'm following along because this album is, you know, a lot of times I can understand every single word she's saying, but in this album, voice is a little bit buried in the mix, a little bit.
Maybe, thanks, Jack Antonoff.
Yeah, maybe a filter on it, maybe doing. But I understand that that's the sound of this.
Oh yeah,
particular album. And you know, if we know Taylor Swift, the next album probably isn't going to sound like this.
True.
It could sound like Evermore. Who knows?
Yeah, I also realized I was talking about her last four albums. I really should have said last five if we're going back to 1989. I just forget that Lover happened.
Yeah, you know what? I listened to her whole catalog about a month ago as my album of the day, rock solid album of the day, on Twitter. And Reputation and Lover sounded better to me than they ever had before.
Wow.
Like Lover was almost like something newly discovered. Like,
so you're a big Lover head now.
I'm kind of into that album now. And I was like, before I would have been like, I don't even know what that album is.
Yeah.
And yeah, Reputation, coming off of Red in 1989, Reputation just felt so different to me. It felt like she was trying too hard to fit in with what everyone else was doing.
Mm-hmm.
But now when I listen to it, it really hits a chord. I do like it. All right, next song, written by Taylor and Jack Antonoff, is called Maroon. Maroon. Here we go.
Cleaning incense off your vinyl shelf, cause we lost track of time again. Laughing with my feet in your lap, like you were my closest friend. How'd we end up on the floor anyway, you say? Your roommate's cheap ass screw top rosé. That's how I see you every day now.
Here's what I'm going to tell you. This song didn't mean anything to me when I was listening to it again in the car, which is where I listen to most of my music. But with headphones on and reading the lyrics, this is Taylor Swift.
Right.
I mean, the music's different. But if you took these lyrics and put them into a pop, you know, and made the music more pop, like Fearless or Speak Now, people would be digging the heck out of this.
Yeah, and I think that this song was like, this song kicks it up for me. It's only number two.
This is better than Lavender Haze.
And like, I think, one, it's something really interesting about this album that I also think was true for Folklore and Evermore, is seeing the shift to her singing about her life and writing lyrics that are so much more adult, not because they're scandalous or anything, but just because, you know, going from listening to Taylor Swift when I was a kid, it's so different to hear her talking about I don't know, just talking about relationships in a much more frank, like, young adult.
Yeah, hooking up, drinking,
yeah,
you know, all that stuff. But but she's older. She's
absolutely she's 30.
Yeah, she's 30. So
something.
It's not, you know, it's not Speak Now. It's not White Horse.
Totally. But this is like a really good case of that. And if you look at the difference, I think it's interesting to look at the song compared to Red.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah.
There's Red, where I feel like those lyrics feel very simple.
Well, it's, yeah, well, it's cute. Interesting because this is Maroon.
And this is Maroon.
It's a little
and
bit,
it's, like,
it's a darker Red.
And I'm sure that's intentional.
I'm sure it's intentional. Everything she does is intentional. Yeah.
The color lyricism, if you compare those songs side by side, this is so much more advanced and mature.
This is the same character
They're
that's in Red.
Songs. Yeah.
She really paints a picture, though. When the morning came, we were cleaning incense off your vinyl shelf. You can see that. You know what an incense stick
absolutely.
Is. And it burned down, and then the ashes fell. And I mean, it's just, it really, this paints a picture.
Yeah.
My How did we end up here? The rosé? I mean, yeah.
Poetry.
I am. I'm enjoying reading the lyrics, reading along with these lyrics.
All right. Let's keep going.
All right. Anti-hero. Do you say anti-hero or anti?
Anti-hero.
I say anti.
She says anti-hero.
And then I'll go with what she says. Written with Taylor Swift and Jack Antonoff, who seems to be her primary guy right now.
Yeah.
They must have a great working relationship.
Oh, they totally do. And I love that for them.
Yeah. And I mean, she probably feels good about working with a guy who's not going to have, romantic aspirations for her. Mm-hmm. She wants to feel like she's in a safe place with an equal collaborator who just happens to be male.
Yeah, no.
So, cool. Okay, anti-hero.
You can do it, Tad.
I end up in crisis. All this time. I wake up screaming from dreaming. One day I'll watch as you're leaving. Cause you got tired of my scheming. For the last time. It's me. Hi. I'm the problem. It's me. At tea time. Everybody agrees. I'll stare directly at the sun. But never.
That's great.
This is a killer song. So
this is great. Now look, I was with almost everyone when I would read comments on Twitter that this album's not great and it's not this and there's no hooks and there's no choruses. I just heard verse and hook and a chorus. And again, the music, I mean, if someone said every song sounds the same, I can understand mm-hmm. why you would say that, but I really do think you need to get into this a little deeper mm-hmm. and listen. And look, if you have the time, and I know it's hard to find the time, but to just sit down, throw some headphones on, open up the lyric book, and follow along, it's a totally different listening experience.
Okay. Yeah, I feel like this is we are watching in real time. You become more endeared to this album and enjoy it more.
100%. You're correct.
Yeah.
You're correct. Because again, I haven't given this as many, I haven't given it 20 listens. I've maybe given it two or three. And again, that's not start to finish at one time. That's mm-hmm. driving around in a car,
which is
different. You can't listen as intently.
You.
And I'm certainly not following along with the mm-hmm. booklet in the car.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'll say that at my job that I was working when this album came out, I put this on at first for the commute to work.
Okay.
And I have a really short commute, so I only got three songs in.
Right.
But by the time I was like pulling in and listen and the end of Antihero played, I was like, this album is going to be great because I think those are great three songs. I think Antihero might still be one of my top songs on this album.
Mm-hmm.
But all the same, when I listened to the rest of it, I was like, yeah, I maybe like a third of these. And the more I listened, the more I'm like, no, there are only a couple that are real, you know, misses for me, and we'll get into those. But there's also a great moment at the end of Antihero where her, like, it's me, hi, becomes it's me, hi. And it's like really, it's really fun.
Yeah.
It's really, really fun to hear her break from like singing to speaking.
Yeah.
And this one has great fun lyrics too.
So now Snow on the Beach features Lana Del Rey, and it was also written and produced by Taylor, Jack, and Lana.
So this is where we get into the first song that I do not care for.
I'm not that big of a Lana Del Rey fan.
She sucks. She's
Taylor Swift doesn't have to work with the flavor of the month.
Yeah.
You know, even though Lana Del Rey has many albums also, mm-hmm. you know, just, let's listen to it. Snow on the Beach.
Yeah.
One night a few moons ago, I saw flecks of what could have been lights, but it might just have been you passing by unbeknownst to me. Life is emotionally abusive and time can't stop me quite like you did, and my flight was off. Thanks for asking, I'm unglued. Thanks to you. And it's like snow at the beach. Weird but fucking beautiful. Flying in a dream. Stars by the pocket full. You wanting me tonight feels impossible. But it's coming down, no sound. It's all around like snow on the beach.
Lana Del Rey, it's not a duet. She's just kind of in the mix there.
She's kind of there.
Yeah. It didn't sound, it didn't sound terrible.
It's boring.
Mm-hmm.
I just think the song is boring. I just think this is a nothing song.
Now, Taylor's swearing in almost every song on this album.
I saw someone on Twitter say that Taylor Swift swears like she just got permission to swear. And I do have to agree with that. But
yeah.
She is a 30-year-old woman who can do what she wants.
Yeah,
I
yeah.
just think she needs to put more conviction behind it.
Yeah, she just kind of throws them off, you know,
yeah.
nonchalantly. Like,
yeah.
And they, you know.
I'm Taylor Swift. I'm 30. Heck.
Track 5. And now the length of these songs is, they're all like around 3.5 minutes. Like that's like a traditional pop song length, except for Snow on the Beach. That was the first one that broke 4 minutes.
Yeah, which it doesn't need to break 4 minutes.
Yeah, see, that's interesting that's the first one where you're like, yeah, not, you know, and it's not only, like you said, boring, but it's also longer than the other songs. Yeah. And you don't want the boring song to be the longest song.
Yeah, but then we get back into it.
You're on your own, kid. No, I'm telling you, you're on your own, kid.
Always have been.
That's not true. All right, Taylor and Jack again. Here we go.
Summer went away, still the yearning stays. I play it
already, it's great.
The best of them. I wait patiently, he's gonna notice me. It's okay, we're the best of friends. Anyway, I hear it in your voice. You're smoking with your boys. Touch my phone as it fits your face. I didn't choose this town. I dream of getting out. There's just one who could make me stay. All my days, from sprinkler splashes to fireplace ashes, I waited ages to see you there. I searched the party of better bodies just you always have been.
Now I get why you said that.
Yeah.
I thought you were being funny with me. That's a great song.
Yeah.
Like, I think the first time I listened to this album, I think this was the first one where I was like, oh, okay, yeah. here we go.
Absolutely.
It took 5 songs in, but this one was the first one that really grabbed me.
This one's really, really solid.
It is. 3 minutes and 14 seconds.
Yeah. And again, digs really deep, delves really personal.
Mm-hmm. She's been in a relationship now for like 3 years, right, with the same dude.
Joe Alwyn.
Yeah, which means she's not, you know, writing the, you know, the type of Taylor Swift song that people might say is her stock in trade, like the revenge song or the this and that.
You say that, but there are still a couple on here. And I think something that people were talking about with this album that people appreciate is that she digs into past hurt and
does she need to do that now, though? Don't you think she should be through that?
Well, one, I think that something that she sort of said about this album is that this is an album she's been writing for a long time. I think the timeline on this album is this is sort of a compilation of songs that she has, the idea is that she's written them late at night, but really just sort of confessional songs that she's written, you know, over the years, sort of her, like, these are sort of like her
midnight confessions.
Her midnight confessions. And so I think that with that being the conceit and the fact that she probably did start writing some of these years ago, I think that's the case for actually more of her songs than people think. Like, you know, I think it makes perfect sense. And I think, like, I don't know, I think it's something people who make art are entitled to, you know.
And then Jack Antonoff and her made these lyrics sound cohesive. So the album has the same sound.
Yeah.
But again, if you hear some of these songs, and let's say this was written during the lover period, well, you know, change the production, change the instrumentation a little bit, and this song would fit on that album.
And I think these also might have been songs that she knew from the get-go didn't fit on other albums.
So they needed to go together.
Yeah.
Like Misfits. Yeah. It's called Midnights, but it could be called Misfits.
Yeah. So I think that's part of it.
All right, Midnight Rain is track 6, 2 minutes and 55 seconds.
Loves to say the name of the album in a song title, in her songs. Mm-hmm. Loves it.
Yep. And here we go, again, written by Taylor and Jack.
Pain, he wanted a comfortable, I wanted that pain. He wanted a bread, I was making my own name. Chasing that fame, he stayed the same. All of me changed like midnight.
Cages full of fences, pageant queens and pretenders. But for some, it was paradise. My boy was a montage, a slow motion love potion, jumping off things in the ocean. I broke his heart cause he was nice. He was sunshine, I was midnight.
He wanted a comfortable, I wanted that pain.
Now, who's doing those vocals there?
I think it's her, but pitched down, like almost certainly.
It came like a postcard. Picture perfect, shiny family, holiday, peppermint candy. But for him, it's every day.
It's a really cool song.
Yeah, this is where I'm like, okay, Jack, I forgive you. This is actually good. This is what you do best. The production on the song is really interesting. I like Jack Antonoff when he's interesting. I don't like it when it feels like he's sort of smothering a song in what he does, you know, which is these really hyper-produced
pop
songs. Like, I like the Bleachers.
I'm following along in the lyrics again, and it's just, for me, it really is a Taylor Swift album.
Absolutely, 100%. She refers in Midnight Rain and You're On Your Own Kid to, like, a town that she wants to get out of, and I'm like, wait, it's been, like, bugging me. I'm like, where are you talking about? And I don't know if she's talking about a place, but that's just a thing.
Could be any
about.
Town, USA.
Yeah. She was just living in New York for so long. I'm like,
I hope,
what are you talking about?
I hope people that dismiss this album go back and revisit it if they're listening to this podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Did it sell well?
Let me see. Of course it did. Of course it did.
It had to have, right?
Yeah.
Let me see. Let's see if I can find some sales figures on this.
I know anecdotally that one of my roommates couldn't find the Target version of this album for months.
Really?
Months.
How?
She didn't do what you did and get it at, you know, 6 a.m. the day it came out.
I've never not seen it, though, over there at the Target.
I don't know.
At the Target.
The Hadley, Massachusetts Target is just low on Taylor Swift. And
I can't find the For some reason, I can't find. Let me click on here. On that. Yeah, I can't find any. Oh, well.
One of my roommates works at that Target, so we had an in and we...
Yeah, and you couldn't get it?
Couldn't get it.
It's ridiculous. All right, track 7 is questions. Question... And then a question
now,
mark.
Do you want to play my little Easter egg before?
Yeah.
Let's do that.
You said that they're sampling... They do a little sample of Out of the Woods.
Yes,
you think they do.
Which was one of the first songs that Taylor Swift and Jack Antonoff produced together.
Okay.
And I heard this, there's this little, like, once again, pitch down distorted, I remember at the start of this song called Question. And I heard that and I was like, where is that from? And at first I actually thought it might have been picked from All Too Well. I knew it was one of her songs because All Too Well also does a lot of, you know, I remember this, I remember that.
Trickery.
But it's not the same one. And even picking it through Out of the Woods, I was trying to find the exact one that I think they might have taken.
All right.
But I just thought that was a cool detail. So we're going to play the Out of the Woods clip and then...
And then we'll see if we can find it.
Yeah.
Question.
Well, it's at the very start of the
song. It's at the top. Okay,
yeah.
Here we go. Out of the Woods.
That one. Not that one.
But the first one.
Yes.
Okay, let's go to questions. I keep calling it questions. It's question. I want to put an S on it.
Good girl, yep. Sad boy, big
let's go again because I was talking.
Good girl, yep. Sad boy, big city, wrong choices. We had one thing going on. I swear that it was something because I don't. Remember who I was before you painted all my nights. A color I've searched for since, but one thing after another. Fucking situations, circumstances, miscommunications. And I have to say, by the way, I just may like some explanations. Can I ask you a question? Did you ever have someone kiss you in a crowded room? And every single one of your friends was making fun of you. But 15 seconds later, they were clapping too. Then what did you do? Did you leave a house in the middle of the night?
I love this because these are all questions.
Yeah.
She's asking
so true,
all
Dad.
These questions.
Yeah.
Then so what did you do?
I was totally right about that sample, right?
Yeah, I think so.
I'm 100% Definitely. Right. I'm a genius.
100% right.
This is honestly a song that I really didn't like, and one that people definitely like dug into mm-hmm. for being, I don't know, kind of corny in its lyricism, but...
I like corny lyrics, though.
I like it. I think it's fun. All oh, right. Here we go. We're getting in some... Yeah, this territory of the album gets real, real divisive.
This is written just by Taylor. This is vigilante shit.
Oh, is this one not Jack Antonoff at all?
He produced it, but he didn't write it.
Okay, cool. So that's rough for you, Taylor. Okay, let's get a vigilante shit.
This is a solo writing credit on this one.
Draw the cat eyes sharp enough to kill a man. You did some bad things, but I'm the worst of them.
See, this has the 1989 feel to me.
This feels like Reputation.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Reputation. Got a bad reputation. You're right. My mistake.
Kill and I might try. I don't dress for women. I don't dress for men. Lately, I've been dressing for revenge. I don't start shit, but I can tell you how it ends. Don't get sad, get even. So on the weekends, I don't dress for friends. Lately I've been dressing for revenge. She needed cold hard proof, so I gave her some.
It's like her attempt at a James Bond song.
She had the envelope where you think she got it.
I just want us to wait for one thing.
Uh-oh.
Now she gets the house, gets the kids, gets the pride.
Never mind, it's too far into the song.
Which line are you thinking?
It's actually that, sorry. And she looks so I just pretty. Wanted picture me thick as thieves with your ex-wife because I think it's funny. And I talked over it. Lately she's been
dressing for revenge. I like this song because it's written from a character's point of view. This has nothing to do with Taylor Swift.
You think it does? People think that this is a Scooter Braun revenge song. Scooter Braun recently divorced. In lawsuits.
Well, then it probably is because...
Probably coke-addled, like...
She takes no prisoners with her lyrics.
Yeah, so people think this is 100% a Scooter Braun dig. She is, I think, friendly with an ex-wife. Like, probably had nothing to do with their divorce, but like, you know, in that sense, she's definitely doing a character.
I think this song is...
very, very corny, and I get why people were making fun of it. On third listen, it's hilarious. It's fun.
I didn't hate it at all.
I didn't hate it. It feels like Reputation, an album I notoriously don't like.
Yeah. Because give that a listen again, though. Try Reputation one more time.
Okay. And
it's got one of my favorites on it. This is why we can't have nice things. I love that.
Okay.
What was I going to say about this? Oh, I was just going to say, what do you think the next Taylor's version is going to be? Is it going to be Speak Now?
It has to be Speak Now. And I want it.
But she's also going to redo Reputation.
Yeah. I think she might do that one last.
Yeah.
If I was her, I would do either Reputation or
the debut.
Self-titled last, yeah.
So you think it's going to be Speak Now, then 1989, and then one of the other two.
Mm-hmm.
All right. This song, this is a hard word for me to say, Bejeweled.
Bejeweled.
Bejeweled. Written by Taylor and Jack.
Mm-hmm.
Produced by Taylor and Jack. That's Jack Antonoff, not Jack White.
Weirdo.
Baby love, I think I've been a little too kind. Didn't notice you walking all over my peace of mind. And the shoes I gave you as a present. Putting someone first only works when you're in their top five. And by the way, I'm going out tonight. Best believe I'm still bejeweled. When I walk in the room, I can still make the whole place shimmer. And when I meet the band, they ask, do you have a man? I can still say I don't remember. Familiarity breeds contempt, so put me in the basement when I want the penthouse of your heart. Diamonds in my eyes. I polish up real, I polish up real nice.
It's just that at the beginning of this song, that little droning thing is kind of a theme throughout a lot of these songs. And I think that's a thing that people don't like on first listen.
Yeah.
But as you get into it, and you listen to these lyrics, again, so much. These are fun lyrics.
Yeah,
in this song.
Super fun. No, Bejeweled is super. It's fun.
Yeah.
This was also this like question was one where I was like, oh, this song sucks. And then like I just kept listening to it, and it gets in your head like a good pop song. And like eventually, I was just like, yeah, well, this is fun. And the music video is like super hilarious.
When I walk in the room, I can still make the whole place shimmer. That's great.
Shimmer.
Yeah, that's great. All right, moving on. Labyrinth, track 10 already. We're moving right along.
I'm glad we have a lot to get through.
This is where is this written by? This one doesn't. Here it is. It's written over here. Taylor and Jack, of course.
Mm-hmm.
It only hurts this much right now. All right, that's the first lyric. Let's find out what's going on here with Labyrinth.
Thank you.
whether it is or not, I get the feeling that she wants us to think this is about Jo Alwyn.
About who?
Her current
boyfriend. Okay.
Is the sense I get. This is a interesting song, and something that I like forgot was in here, but that you can hear with the good headphones, is that little
that kind of stuff.
Like you can hear two people's voices going in like the very beginning. Mm-hmm. And I think it's her and Jack, because if you've ever seen any documentary stuff about their songwriting process, mm-hmm. and I think a lot of artists do this, but there's just a lot of footage of them going like, what if it went like ba 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 da da, like they do that a lot. And it kind of sounds like it might have been her and Jack's first pass at what they wanted this song to sound like, and they kept it really low in the start over what it ended up sounding like.
Because they thought it was fun.
Yeah, because it is fun. I feel like I'm talking too much.
You're not talking too much. You know this album more than I know it, having listened to it 20 some times.
Give me your Labyrinth thoughts.
Again, it's another one that did not jump out at me when I listened to the album before, but with the headphones on and listening, it's a very nice song. Mm-hmm. It's very, and that nice sounds like dismissive, but it just is. Yeah. It's about falling in love and about, it's scary.
Mm-hmm. And it's short.
And do you want to, yeah.
And sweet.
Yeah. And do you want to take that plunge? Mm-hmm. I love the elevator reference.
I've been thinking a lot about that one. Yeah.
Yeah. It's true. Okay. Karma. Track 11, it's got a lot of writers on it. Taylor Swift, Jack Antonoff, Mark Anthony Spears, Keanu Torres. Are you okay?
I can't swallow water.
You got to learn to.
We're fine.
And I can't pronounce this person's name. Johan Akil Sweet. So I don't know if they sampled some songs. Sometimes when people get writing credits like this, it's because they sampled a famous song. I don't know if they did here. But this kicks off with, we get a swear word in the first line, and this is karma. Uh-oh. This is karma.
Aren't you glad I'm 22 and you don't have to release Pat's version and take songs off?
I don't have to, delete songs.
Listen to the last podcast if you want to know what that's about, that we did.
Yes.
You're talking shit for the hell of it. Addicted to betrayal, but you're relevant. You're terrified to look down. 'Cause if you dare, you see the glare of everyone you burn just to get there. It's coming back around. And I keep my side of the street clean. You wouldn't know what I mean. 'Cause karma is my boyfriend. Karma is a god. Karma is the breeze in my hair on the weekend. Karma's a relaxing thought. Aren't you envious?
I'm just okay with this song.
I think it is so fun.
I'm not saying it's not fun. It's just, I'm just okay with it.
I think this is a 10 out of 10 fun song.
Oh my
Karma
God.
Karma is a cat purring in my lap because it loves me. That's
flexing
hilarious.
Like a goddamn acrobat.
Like, and yeah, like once again, anytime she tries to actually like.
Who's Spider Boy?
I don't know. Mm. I caught that on this listen too. I was like, I don't know. She doesn't want us to know. I don't know. Not every part of this song hits. Like, she, once again, I don't think she's very good at being sincerely vengeful. This like vengeful character she does. But I do think the lightheartedness that this song has really serves it well. And the tongue-in-cheek, you know, karma is my boyfriend, karma is a god, karma is a cat. I think it's adorable.
Maybe she's
so
talking
fun.
About the guy from her record label that sold the masters to Scooter Braun.
Yeah, I'm sure a lot of the revenge songs on this particular album are not actually about not about romantic relationships.
No, this is about a business relationship.
Yeah, for sure.
Don't you know that cash ain't the only price? It's coming back around. And I keep my side of the street clean.
Yep.
You wouldn't know what I mean. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. See, now it's kind of grown on me. Yeah.
You're so easily persuaded.
I feel wishy-washy on this album because I know that when I mentioned it on Twitter and stuff. It was like, yeah, I'm not digging it. And you
but
know,
I felt the same way. So like, I totally get what you mean. And I,
but there's music that I didn't like when I was younger that now I love, you know, and there's artists that I never listened to and I was like, dismissed them and now I love them. So, I mean, I guess that's the beauty of music and maturity and all that stuff. But yeah, I just hope people start to listen to this album. I mean, I know a lot of people love it,
mm-hmm.
but I know a lot of people that were lukewarm. And I think those people need to give it another try.
Absolutely.
Sweet Nothing, written by Taylor Swift and William Bowery. I don't know who he is.
I believe William Bowery is, I think people were saying, I think that their belief is that William Bowery is a
pseudonym
for Joe Alwyn. I think
So you think she wrote this with her boyfriend?
Yes. I think that I remember that's what people on Twitter were saying.
All right.
My citation is twitter.com, so don't come for me. I know that, this could be wrong.
So this is track 12, and we only have one more from the standard version.
Which is crazy, because there are so many more good songs.
I know, and we're going to hear them. Here's Sweet Nothing.
That we picked up last July. Down deep inside your pocket, we almost forgot it. Does it ever miss Wicklow sometimes? Ooh. Ooh. They said the end is coming, everyone's up to something. I found myself around and home to your sweet nothings. Outside they push and shoving, you're in the kitchen humming. All that you ever wanted from me was sweet nothing.
That's a nice romantic song.
Yeah, and I fact checked it. People do think it's semi-confirmed that it's Joe Alwyn. Apparently William Bowery has also written on Folklore and Evermore. And I think that this is one of the songs that sounds like it could be, it really sounds like the bridge transition between the Lover and Evermore Folklore era.
Yeah.
Like that's where it starts to get into her, to that side of her songwriting.
All right. So now if you only own the standard edition, you don't have the 3 a.m. edition and you don't have a deluxe edition or a Target edition or anything, mm-hmm. this is where the album ends for you. 44 minutes and 2 seconds worth of brand new Taylor Swift music. Yeah, it's tight. And this song is
three
minutes and 11 seconds.
Sorry.
And this is how, if there were no bonus tracks or anything, this is how she wants to close out Midnight.
And I do think it is a really, really good closing song. I just think there's so much more after it that is also good.
Right. So here we go. Mastermind.
Once upon a time, the planets in the fates and all the stars aligned. You and I ended up in the same room at the same time. And the touch of a hand lit the fuse of a chain reaction of counter moves to assess the equation of you. Checkmate, I couldn't lose. What if I told you none of it was accidental? And the first night that you saw me, nothing was gonna stop me. I laid the groundwork and then, just like clockwork, the dominoes cascaded in a line. What if I told you I'm a mastermind? And now you're mine. It was all by design, 'cause I'm a mastermind.
See, Taylor Swift needed to find a guy who was okay with her being ultra successful. And wants her to be. And doesn't, I mean, I'm not going to say doesn't mind living in her shadow, but
yeah,
elevates her, mm-hmm. makes her be her best self, and is fine if they go out and people are yelling and screaming for her. Yeah. And he's like, yeah, great, that's my girl.
I love this song.
I like this song too.
It inexplicably reminds me of a song that I think isn't a bonus track. I think it's on the main. I think it's toward the end of the main songs on Red, called "The Lucky One." It might be a bonus track actually. That I really like. I don't know. It's like she has these songs that feel very contemplative. Mastermind feels like that. One of my roommates said that she liked the song because it normalized being crazy, which I also think is hilarious. But on a different note, as someone who's definitely been that person who has sort of seen someone across the room, romantic or otherwise, honestly, mostly friends, and been like, you're going to be my friend. I'm going to make you like me. And then felt kind of guilty about it, you know, months into that relationship. I think it's a very relatable, great song. And so it ends with him knowing the whole time that she orchestrated it, that she
so maybe he's the mastermind.
Right.
Because he let it happen.
It's great. It's a perfect song. That's probably, I feel like I don't have like a ranked like number 1, 2, 3, but it's definitely like top 3 for me.
All right. We're moving on.
Sorry.
No, I'm not cutting you off.
No, yeah.
So
we gotta get through it.
The Target edition has 3 bonus tracks. Now, 2 of those are just different versions of songs we've already heard, which is You're on Your Own, Kid, which is a strings remix, and Sweet Nothing, which is a piano remix. So we're not going to listen to those.
No.
But track 14 on the Target edition is my favorite song of all of these. And it's called Hits Different.
I've never heard it.
Are you kidding me? You've never heard Hits Different.
I've never heard Hits Different. Does it hit different, Dad?
You know what? It actually doesn't hit different. I feel like this is the most Taylor Swift sounding of any of the songs from these sessions.
All right.
So
let's listen to it.
This is Hits Different.
I washed my hands of ice at the club. You made a mess of me. I pictured you with other girls in love, then threw up on the street. Like waiting for a bus that never shows, you just start walking on. They say that if it's right, you know.
What do you think of that?
That is crazy.
Isn't
no
that
wonder
great?
That's the Target. Yeah, so I was avoiding listening to it because I knew we were going to do this and I knew that you had the Target edition. But I am a lifelong Spotify user and it's only Target. She has this deal. It's only like even Spotify. Spotify gets the 3 a.m. edition, but it doesn't get this track.
I mean, this should have been included on the album, I feel, the regular edition.
But I understand why it's not, because it's such a departure from everything else,
yeah.
In my opinion.
It's a legit...
It does hit different.
It's a legit...
From everything else.
It hits different from everything else on this album.
On this album.
But it doesn't hit different in the catalog of songs I love from Taylor Swift.
It feels so classic Taylor Swift that I was like, what is... What? Does Jack Antonoff produce that one?
Let me see. Produced by Jack Antonoff, Aaron Dessner, and Taylor Swift.
Wild.
And those 3 wrote it also. So yeah. I don't know when that song is written
or
where
it comes
from.
Because you get that really clear guitar, and I'm like, what is happening?
I know. It's just, and it's got a sing-along chorus, and the whole thing is great.
Amazing.
It's great. We're going to move on to Midnight's 3 a.m. edition. We got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 songs on this. Unfortunately, I don't have any lyrics for this. This is just digital.
I didn't know it was just digital. I thought the Target version got you everything and...
No, it does not give you...
Oh.
But you know what? She's smart. She'll probably release a deluxe version where you'll get a CD.
Target Deluxe.
Yeah.
She's done that before.
So... This will clock in for us at track 15, you know, and this is called The Great War. Mm-hmm. And you know these songs.
Yes, so I 100%
It's Difference, the only one you didn't know.
The only one I didn't know, and that was a crazy surprise.
All right, here's The Great War. Now I do have the lyrics in front of me because guess what? I got the internet.
It's so true, Dad.
That's a good song.
Do you like that song? So this is, I think, my favorite of the bonus tracks. And guess what? Jack Antonoff did not produce it or co-write it. It was Aaron Dessner.
All right. And as Aaron Dessner helped with that Hits Different, which we loved.
Her voice is so clear when Jack Antonoff is not producing a song. And it's like, the other songs sound fine until you get that crisp vocal quality.
Yeah.
I also think this song pulls in a lot of Red influences for me personally. I love it. I think it's so fun.
Yeah, that's a good one. The next one is Whole Sky.
Mm-hmm.
Not H-O-L-E, like hole in the sky.
No.
But the entire sky.
Yeah.
All right, let's hear it. Where is it? Oh, it's actually, I'm sorry. I gave the wrong title. It's actually called Bigger than the Whole Sky. Yeah. Bigger than the Whole Sky. Sorry, everybody.
No words appear before me in the aftermath. Salt streams out my eyes and into my ears. Every single thing I touch becomes sick with sadness. Because it's all over now, all out to see. Goodbye, goodbye, goodbye. You are bigger than the whole sky. You were more than just a short time. And I've got a lot to pine about. I've got a lot to live without. I'm never gonna meet what could have been, would have been, what should have been you. What could have been, would have been.
She's getting me. She's getting me with these songs.
This one's sad and a little bit boring.
Sad.
But I think it's mostly just, it's not, I get why it's a bonus track. It's not a bop like the others. And so I'm not, when I'm picking songs or even when it's on shuffle, this is kind of a skip for me, you know?
I get it.
Just on the basis of, it's not the vibe of others. But it is good.
Yeah. What about Paris? Do you like this one?
Oh, God.
You don't like it?
Just hit play.
Okay, let's find out.
Met someone at a club and he kissed her. Turns out it was that guy you hooked up with ages ago. Some wannabe Z-lister. And all the outfits were terrible. 2003, unbearable. Did you see the photos? No, I didn't, but thanks though. I'm so in love that I might stop breathing. Drew a map on your bedroom ceiling. No, I didn't see the news. Cause we were somewhere. I'll stumble down pretend alleyways. Cheap wine, make believe it's
champagne. I was taken by the view like we were in Paris, like we were somewhere else, like we were in Paris. Oh, we were somewhere.
All right, thoughts?
I don't love this song. It is giving me the same vibe as the other ones that I've said have a very like remind me a lot of Red, an mm-hmm. album that I do like, but I don't love this song. There are parts of it that are fun. I like when she gets, you know, conversational. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But the chorus is grating to me. I also don't like her song Welcome to New York. Like I just,
you don't like Welcome to New York.
I don't, right. I just,
you don't like when she sings about places.
It gets great. This one just gets grating to me.
No Paris for you. No New York.
We were in Paris.
If you had to take the red eye from New York to Paris, you would hate it.
Yeah.
All right. High infidelity.
Mm-hmm.
It's a play on words. High fidelity.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also the name of a fantastic album released in 1980.
Do you think she's
by
REO
Speedwagon? Called High Infidelity.
Do you think that this is an REO Speedwagon reference?
I don't think it is. I have that album right behind you, signed directly behind you. Don't even look up. Look more down. See the Cat Face album?
Yeah.
It's right to the left of it.
Oh, yeah.
High Infidelity.
So true.
All right. 3 minutes and 52 seconds. Here we go. Beep, boop, beep, boop, boop, beep, boop.
What a beep-bop.
Lock broken, slur spoken, wound open, game token. I didn't know you were keeping count. Rain soaking, blind hoping. You said I was freeloading. I didn't know you were keeping count. High infidelity, put on your records and regret me. Truth too far tonight. I was dancing around it. High infidelity. Put on your headphones and burn my city. Your picket fence is sharp as knives. I was dancing around it. Do you really want to know where I was April 29th?
Why does she throw that date out?
Do I really have to chart the constellations in his eyes?
Is this autobiographical?
I think so.
Husband, bad omen, dragged my feet right down the aisle.
Okay, let me tell you something.
Yes.
Rita's been trying to teach me the new slang for me to use.
So I will leave.
So I'm going to throw it out there.
I will leave this podcast.
For me, this song, High Infidelity.
Oh my God.
This song is gas. It definitely is gas.
Stop.
What?
I
this song is gas,
don't
man.
Even know what to say.
Did I use it correctly?
Rita and I are going to have a stern conversation.
Is that song gas for you?
You've made me forget any commentary. I like this song.
It's
have
gas.
To grow on me. I do think that she is admitting to some legitimate cheating in this song.
Okay.
But I'm not sure. People have a lot of theories about this song, but I think April 29th is a very specific date. And I think there's a chance that she
specific.
Is making a very specific...
A pointed reference to something.
I think she's very good. Very specific confession.
Mm-hmm.
I
cannot wait till. I mean, it's way too early for her to do this, but in another 10 or 15 years, when she writes her autobiography, that is going to be gas.
Are you excited for that movie she's making?
What movie is she making?
She's directing a movie.
Is it autobiographical?
I have no idea.
Did
I don't
she
think
write
so.
The movie?
I think so.
All right. I mean, look, sometimes someone who's successful in one form of entertainment, you know, flops in another. It doesn't mean that you're good at everything.
Yes.
But I'll definitely go see it and
yeah,
I'll definitely
we'll
be there.
Yeah, we'll get the tickets. I'll be there. The only thing that makes me hesitant is there have been some little vignettes in her recent music mm-hmm. videos that she's directed. And
yeah. Is she starring in the movie also? I hope not.
Not funny. I don't think so. I think she's just going behind the camera.
It's also
going
to give her an excuse to write a soundtrack album. Which
yes.
I'm sure is already written and ready to go.
How much music can she write?
I have
write?
No idea how much music
it's
she can write.
Ridiculous.
That's another thing. If people don't like this album, that's cool. look at how much she's given us in the past 2.5 years. So much, two Taylor's versions, Folklore and Evermore, and so much great stuff. So even if this isn't your jam, with her, you can be forgiving. You can go, I'll probably love the next one.
And I think the thing that this album made me really appreciate, and the thing I appreciate about Taylor Swift in general, is like, there's a lot of criticism of this album that it was corny or goofy.
I don't think it's corny.
I think some of the songs are corny, but Taylor Swift is very committed and sincere to how she writes and what she writes about. And she is not, at least as an artist, she does not come off as particularly insecure about seeming really cool or about like writing something in a way that isn't how she wants to portray it. She's not afraid of, you know, cliche metaphor.
Yeah.
And I don't know, writing about past hurts that she's already experienced. Like, she just writes what she wants to, and I think that's why she's capable of writing so much music. Is she's not the kind of artist who stares at a blank page and is scared to fill it with something bad.
She just lets it flow.
She writes, like, she's like said on record, she's like that she writes like 20 songs for every album. And then sometimes she puts those on the back burner.
Sometimes she releases them.
Like, I think that's awesome. I think that's something very few people have, is the ability to, like, I don't know, take their own feelings and artistry seriously enough to not care if people think that it's cliche or corny or not, you know?
Yeah, I totally agree.
It's non-pretentious.
Totally agree. I agree. All right, we're moving on to a song called Glitch. And we've only got two more to go. Here it is.
We were supposed to be just friends. You don't live in my part of town, but maybe I'll see you out some weekend. Depending on what kind of mood and situationship I'm in, and what's in my system. I think there's been a glitch. 5 seconds later, I'm fastening myself to you with a stitch. And I'm not even sorry, nights are so sorry, blood moon lit. It must be counterfeit. I think there's been a glitch. I was supposed to sweat you out.
All right, this one's kind of a throwaway for me.
I'm honestly surprised that this isn't on the main album. So I'm going to go like the complete opposite way. I think it's fun and interesting. I think it's a little bit Jack Antonoff overproduced.
Yeah, that one feels derivative of other things.
But I get you. I hear you.
But it's short too. It's really short. It's 2:29.
And that's probably part of it as well.
We don't have much to say about that one. Now, what is the next one about? Would've, could've, should've. Is this about John Mayer again?
Yes.
Man, that song Dear John on Speak Now is incredible.
Oh yeah.
It makes me hate John Mayer.
Yeah, this also hates you. Yeah. Makes you hate John Mayer.
I mean, she was 19. He was like in his 30s, right? Yeah. Gross.
No, I think this is her. This is what I mean by, like, she's not afraid to just like return to stuff. And
she's like, you know what? Dear John didn't cover it enough for me.
Well, Dear John covers, you know, I think Dear John covers how she felt at the time. And now she's his age that he was when he dated her.
And now she's like, you know what?
And she's like, actually, you know what? I'm not done.
And I respect that. And I might not be done this time either. There might be another one.
Yeah. She's got to kill John Mayer with her bare hands, and then we'll be then.
And
we'll
Jake Gyllenhaal, give her that scarf. Send it to her. Have your people send it to her people so she can have that scarf back. It's ridiculous. Give her that scarf. Okay, would've, could've, should've. Here we go. I'm going to say already, I do like this song. I like her revenge songs and her I'm mad. And
this is a good revenge song.
It really is.
If you would've blinked, then I would've.
looked away at the first glance. If you tasted poison, you could've spit me out at the first chance. If I wasn't painted, it's splatter on a promising grown man. And if I was a child, did it matter if you got to wash your hands?
Yeah, this was a bad relationship.
Yeah.
This was absolutely horrible.
Can I tell you something unsettling that someone... no, it's about. It's just about another subject.
All right.
Is that people have also since gone back and realized that the song Ours might be about John Mayer, but from when the good part, when she was dating him, okay, the quote-unquote good part, like not the good part, but when like from a positive light. And it is very disturbing because Ours is a song about everyone disapproving of a relationship.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
And being happy. And it's a very, you know.
And they're they disapprove of it because of the age difference.
Yes. So people look back on that song and been like, oh no.
Yeah.
That's the thing I think of. Yeah.
All right.
No, that is a pretty killer song. I've dunked on her revenge songs, but that is good. Yeah.
I want to get a full track count of how many tracks we went through. Again, we do not play your On Your Own Kid Strings remix or Sweet Nothing Piano remix.
So I also haven't heard those two, but I'll listen to them off.
Maybe we'll use one of those as the play out.
Cool.
So between the 13 songs on the regular standard edition, and then you add a 14th song with Hits Different, and these 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 songs, 21 songs she released.
Yeah.
21 songs. All right. The last one that was officially released on the 3 a.m. edition is called Dear Reader. Here it is.
Mm.
Never take advice from someone who's falling apart. Never take advice from someone who's falling apart. Dear reader, bend when you can, snap when you have to. Dear reader, you don't have to answer because they asked you. Dear reader,
what do you think?
I really like this song. I think it feels like a grand finale.
Mm-hmm.
And it feels like it is placed where it is, not even because it shouldn't have made the cut on the first 13, but because, you know, in this day and age, there's an awareness that most people are listening to the deluxe edition.
Right.
Or the extended edition. And so this feels like this is like the final, the real final track of this album. Like, this is what she was like, I'm gonna end with this, even if that just makes it a bonus track. It's very self-aware. It's, if you've, you know, followed Taylor Swift's career for any amount of time, it's a very interesting direct direct addressed song, because she doesn't, there isn't a lot of to my fans
right
songs.
No, not on this, no.
Yeah, so this kind of like intended for, you know, us, the people listening, is, it's very interesting. And I do quite like it.
Well, I'll burn you a copy of all 21 songs so that you can have it for your car.
Dad, you know, Taylor Swift really, really needs the money. I should just buy the album myself.
I'll just burn you a copy and you can keep it in your
car.
And that way you can bop to Hits Different, because that song is gas.
And
all right.
With that, I think that's the end of our podcast.
Let's listen to a little of You're on Your Own Kid, You're on Your Own Kid Strings remix. And then since Sweet Nothing is so nice, I'll use that as the play out.
Okay. And what's our time on this podcast?
1 hour and 22 minutes.
We did good.
Yeah.
We got a lot to get through.
We're going to catch up with you after this song, though. I'm going to ask a couple questions. Hold on.
Summer went away, still the yearning stays. I play it cool with the best of them. I wait patiently, he's gonna notice me. It's okay, we're the best of friends. Anyway, I hear it in your voice, you're smoking with your boys. I touch my phone as if it's your face. I didn't choose this town, I dream of getting out. There's just one who could make me stay. All my days, from sprinkler splashes to fireplace ashes, I waited ages to see you there. I searched the party of bed.
It's good, it has the slight strings in the background. Kind of like it better, maybe.
It's really nice.
Yeah.
I understand why this kind of production, you know, is something you release as a bonus track and not on the main album. But
it's nice that they tried stuff like that, though.
Yeah, absolutely. And it might be something you hear in concert, you know?
True. That's true. Maybe she'll bring out some stringed instruments.
Rita got those Taylor Swift tickets.
Yep,
that
Rita did get Taylor
insane.
Swift tickets.
She got, like, pre-sale $50 Taylor Swift tickets.
Yeah. Now,
she's the luckiest kid on the planet. And
she's one of the lucky ones, as Taylor Swift would say.
That's not what that song's about. Rita's the kind of person where you go places with her and, like, it would not be unreasonable for someone to just walk up and be like, hey, I've got $100 on the street. Do you want it?
Yeah.
Her whole life.
I told her, I go, look, you're 18 now. And when the Powerball was like $1 billion, I go, you should go play a lottery ticket.
You
go buy a lottery ticket. Not just for you, but for me.
Yes. No, yeah. She's like, first time she was ever on like a plane as a kid, first class upgrade, here's a cookie.
Yes.
Like,
it's crazy.
Just her whole...
It's crazy.
Her whole life.
Yep.
Lucky in a very specific way.
Lucky in a specific way.
So
I hope
next time...
I hope her luck extends to everything in life.
Yes. Next time she's on the pod, you'll have to ask her how that show went, because you're not invited.
I'm not invited to go to that show. Okay, now, 2022, you, me, and Rita have all been blessed with jobs.
Yes.
Rita and I are working at Trader Joe's.
Yes.
Together, the same store, and we are loving it. We feel like we have 100 new friends. I'm not kidding. We're really enmeshed in the Trader Joe's culture, and everyone, I'm going to say 97% of the people that work there are fantastic. And I'm going to say 97% of the customers that come in are fantastic. So it's really been fun. And you have been blessed with a job that's in your field.
Yeah. I got a job. I'm working at one of the colleges around where I live. And I am working in the library in circulation, which is what I want to do. I want to go into library science, get my master's. So it's really excited. And I've also never had like a full-time adult job. I've had a lot of different part-time jobs,
right.
But now that I'm out of college, this is my first full-time gig with benefits.
But you just graduated in what, May or June?
Yeah.
And before the year, and then you had one of those jobs that you get when you you know, you're first out of college and you need a job to
a legal assistant.
Yeah. And you just, and you take it and you know, that's not going to be your career and you know, you're not going to be there forever, but you take it because they need people and you need money.
Yep. Absolutely.
And so that's what you do. And so we're very, very proud of you and very pleased that you scored, you know, a job.
Thank you.
Because you're a go-getter. I think you are. You are always actively searching for what the next step is going to be. Mm-hmm. So congratulations.
Thank you. And I'm very happy for you and Reed at your Trader Joe's jobs. The extroverts have found their calling.
Oh my God. We are extroverting on a daily basis.
It is crazy. I could not do what you do.
It's physically, it's not physically taxing to where I'm like, oh my God, but it's like,
but it would be for me.
Yeah. And it would be for Pilar, but it's like, I can't explain it. It almost sounds crazy if I say that I feel invigorated by being around all these new people and young people.
Yeah.
And when I say young, you know, a 30-year-old is young compared to me.
This
you know
is
what I
true.
Mean? And so I'm enjoying conversations and I don't feel like they're talking about me behind my back, like, this guy. Except for Rita. I genuinely feel like Rita and I have been embraced in that and that, you know, people are enjoying us and I'm enjoying them, these people so much. I really am. It's, you know, when you get up and you go, I don't want to go to work.
Absolutely.
We've all had that feeling.
Yes.
We've not had that at all. We're like,
even when you got to get up at like 4 a.m.
I got to get up tomorrow. We both work 6 a.m. to 2 p.m. So we have to leave the house at 5:40. It's very close by. We can get there in like 10 minutes, but reasonably we leave at 5:40, but we'll have to get up at, you know, 5:10. You're yawning now, just me saying it.
This is so true.
What are your hours going to be?
My hours, it's honestly like a typical, like it's 8:30 to 5 or 9:30 to 6. So pretty standard.
Nice. That's good.
Get a nice long lunch break in there.
Perfect. So with that, again, congratulations.
Thank you. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas.
Happy New Year.
Happy Hanukkah.
What day are you leaving? Yeah, happy Hanukkah. Tonight's the last night. What day are you leaving? I keep forgetting. The 30th?
The 30th.
So you will not be here for New Year's Eve?
No.
But you'll be back in Massachusetts, safe and sound, and that'll allow me to have a nice New Year's Eve.
Yeah, because I'll be gone.
Knowing that you're safe. I won't know what you'll be up to, but I know you'll be safe.
Yeah. See how relaxing your New Year's is when Rita has all her friends over?
Well, I'm used to Rita having all her friends
over.
That's true. And you know what? I got to be honest with you. I'd rather be the house where the kids are.
True.
So I know what's up.
And there's
nothing up with Rita and her friends.
Oh, no.
But I like to be the house.
So yeah.
That's the deal. All right. With that, we covered Taylor Swift's Midnights, including the 3 a.m. edition. And now we are going to close it out with one of the Target bonus tracks called Sweet Nothing Piano Remix. Thank you for being here, Ezra. This was actually your idea.
Yeah, I'm your resident Taylor Swift consultant now.
Yes, you are.
That is my role on this podcast.
Yes, you are. So all I can say is Happy New Year, and I love you.
Love you.
That was gas.
Hate you.
Here we go, Sweet Nothing.
By with my little tired eye, tiny as a firefly, a pebble that we picked up last July. Down deep inside your pocket, we almost forgot it. Does it ever miss Wicklow sometimes? They said the end is coming, everyone's up to something. I found myself a running home to your sweet nothings. Outside they push and shove him. You're in the kitchen humming. All that you ever wanted from me was sweet nothing. On the way home, I wrote a poem. You say, what a mind. This happens all the time.
Testing, not on. 1, 2. I don't hear myself in my...
I have to turn it up here. I want to turn it up slow so I know you're sensitive.
Boop, 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 boop. Yeah, I'm not getting anything. Like, at all.
How about now?
Boop, boop, boop. Yeah, there we go.
Okay.
Yeah, I wasn't getting you or me.
Okay, but now you hear?
Yeah.
All right.
So, yeah.